I don't quite understand humanity. And I don't really, I can't really understand why we're like we are. For example, I was sitting in a restaurant with our son Dave. I had just gotten word that my good friend of many years, Leon Dillard, passed away. And I mentioned this to you the other day, and I use it just tonight to just a touch and run past. I'd just gotten word that Leon Dillard had passed away. I love the guy. One of the most unusual Christians. One of the most amazing Christians I've ever met in my life. One of the most genuine, pure, unaffected, sincere Christians I've ever known was Leon Dillard. Down in Texas, he's the fellow who didn't know what about giving a tenth, but he had two fists in the glove compartment of his car God could have. Dave and I were sitting at the table, and we were laughing some. And I said, "Son, I feel terrible." And he said, "Why?" And I said, "I don't understand how we can laugh when the Dillard family is grieving." Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to do that. But I'm saying, I don't understand why we're like we are. I'll be so glad when I'm like him, so I can do all I'm supposed to do like I'm supposed to do it. Christmas Day, I said to myself, right in the middle of the time we're opening gifts, I said, this is not right. And I know it is right. I know there's nothing wrong with it. But I said to myself, this is not right. We're laughing. We're just having fun. And Mrs. Belby is at the point of death. Understand us. I know we're supposed to go ahead and laugh. I know we can't cry all the time. But I don't quite understand that. And I think what it is, I think it's an insatiable desire to be like him. I got thinking Christmas morning, and these are a lot of reflections I've had this week. This doesn't seem right. Here we are opening gifts, having fun and laughing. And there's a couple from our college that had a wreck on her honeymoon. Why aren't we crying? I don't understand it. I'm not saying I don't understand you. I'm saying I don't understand us, the human race. And I get irritated at myself. How can I laugh and be jovial when one of our own is at the point of death? When a young couple on their honeymoon had a serious accident, and even though she was not seriously injured, when the accident was over, all she remembered was that she married somebody named Jim. That's all she remembered. And we were having fun. It doesn't seem right to me. There's an unbalanced equation here somewhere. It bothers me. I think what I'm saying is, I'll be glad when I can awaken his likeness. I want to have the frailties and weaknesses of this flesh done away with. I want so badly to be a good Christian. I want so badly to be to my people and to my God what they need and He needs me to be. I said, when I was spending some time Christmas Day in the woods, I said, Jesus, this is something wrong here. This is your day. I mean, this is your birthday. And I have to fight to spend some time with you. There's something wacky about it. It's not right. And I'm not here preaching tonight to you and saying, I celebrated Christmas properly and you didn't. I'm saying that, okay, I know we're human, but we don't have to be satisfied with it. David said, I shall be satisfied only when I awake in thy likeness. He said, I've got a spirit here that lives in a body. And the body is in conflict with the spirit. And David said, I won't be satisfied just to be a good Christian. I won't be satisfied just to be a better Christian. I won't be satisfied just to grow in grace. He said, I won't be satisfied till I awake in thy likeness. The apostle said, I'd rather go on to heaven. And again he said, oh, wretched man that I am. What I want to do, I don't. And I'm saying this. I don't think there's anything wrong with doing what we're doing, but there's something in me that says it's not right. I said to myself, while we're opening gifts, I said, does anybody miss Mama? I just wondered if anybody there in the family circle was missing my Mama. I saw the chair where she used to sit. And I rebel that we don't think of the departed enough. And yet we're flesh and we can't. We're not omniscient. We're not omnipresent. We've got to work. We've got to eat. We've got to drink. We're confined in these bodies of clay and of weakness. I just rebel against it. I just will not be satisfied till I wake in his likeness. I was thinking, the hospitals are full. Did anybody cry Christmas Day because the hospitals were full of people? Anybody hurt because some of our own people are there? I mean, I'm just sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of wanting to do what I don't do and doing what I don't want to do. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm simply saying there's something in us that makes us... By the way, we even brag on it. How did she take his death? Oh, she's holding up real well. Now, I know we got to do that, but it seems sacrilegious to hold up real well when somebody that we love like we love our own life is gone. And I know we can't all crack up every time somebody dies. You can't crack up but once. I know that's true. And I know we got to be strong. I know that's true too. I went out to see my mama every day, every week I do. Every week I go see my mama. And every week I'd drive by her little apartment where she lived. And every week I'd get outside her window. I'm not gonna allow her to be forgotten. I'm not gonna do it. I have scheduled times when I think about those whom I loved who are gone. Oh, we're so depraved. We want to forget about them so we won't sorrow. Well, blessed be God, they deserve a little miss. They deserve some sorrow. I went out to see my mama. And I got up close to her little crypt there in the mausoleum. And I said, Mama, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I got a lot to do, Mama. I only have one mind, and I cannot keep but one thing on at a time. And I'm sorry I get so busy sometimes. I may go an entire day. Not even think of you but once or twice. To me, that's profane. And I'm not scolding you, I'm scolding myself. I just have tasted enough of the Christian faith to want it all. I've just tasted enough of the love of Christ to want it all. The last words I said before I turned the light off, before I went to sleep Thursday night, were these. Jesus, I'm sorry. I really am. It just looked like to me I should have spent the whole day with him. Now, I know you're not supposed to do that. I know God has given us earthly and temporal and material responsibilities. I know that. You ladies have to cook. If you didn't, I wouldn't be like this. You got to do it. And you have to eat to stay well. And I have to eat to stay happy. And I know that. But I'll be honest with you, especially in a time of year like this, I feel so guilty. I want to awaken his likeness. I want to be like him. I want to love like I want to love. I want to hurt like I ought to hurt. I want to somehow find the proper blend of the love of Christ. I got in one of these moods several years ago. And I wrote this poem. It's called I'm Tired of Being Mortal. My plea, O Lord, this is my plea, that I might omnipresent be, thy glory soon revealed in me, this bondage of corruption flee, which I possess not willingly. May I escape this vanity unto thy glorious liberty that's known by those who live with thee, then I'll be one or two or three. Alas, I will be happy when my people, loved one, and my friend will never see their schedules bend. For I will never have to send away someone whose wits at end. And I can to my people say, of course, I can see you today. Never have to cause delay to needy ones who come my way. And then my folks will know no lack. No, could I talk to Brother Jack? Then he's not in. He'll call you back. No, could you return? He's busy now. But then I'll see them all somehow. I groan, O Lord. I groan. Oh God, if it could soon be shown the sincere love that I have known for those dear folks who are my own. So now I tiptoe to thy throne to rendezvous with thee alone, while ill winds are so fiercely blown. I pray, O Lord, I pray that soon shall pass this naughty day when I can trade these feet of clay for those that never can decay. Then in a perfect blameless way I can love and give and serve like you, my Savior, do deserve, when from thy path I never swerve. For I will in thy likeness wake, and thy divine omniscience take, and sin and weakness will forsake. How long, O Lord, how long, how long, until I join the gathering throng in that next land where I belong, where no flat notes disturb the song, and even my heart shall know no wrong. I long to be omnipotent, so I can serve without this tent of clay, which far too oft is bent to sin and bad and accident. O God, please give me your consent to follow soon where Jesus went. I only then will be content when raptured I am heaven sent. For then thy praises I can sing without this house, this off-key ring, and then I can declare thy word without my migraine vision blurred. And only then can I reveal the deepening love I always feel. Travail, O Lord, travail, travail, accompanies my impatient wail. To speed the day when I won't fail my members, friends, and family, my deacons who mean so much to me, my staff, my high school, grade school too, the college kids, both old and new. But until then, I'll be your man. I'll work in love and try and plan. I'll give my all. That's all I can. Thank you, God, for my dear clan of folks who care and understand and pray for me and hold my hand. What I'm trying to say is there comes a day in our Christian lives, and maybe we mature a little bit. We get impatient with our weaknesses. We get impatient with our frailties. And I'm simply saying tonight, I'll be glad when I'm like him. Oh, I want to see him look upon his face. Oh, I want to thank him for his saving grace. And one reason I do is I want to be to him what he needs me to be. I want to be omnipresent. I want to be with everybody I love at the same time. Maybe I'm just telling you how confused I am tonight, but I don't understand something. I don't understand why we choose not to be with the folks we love. Now, don't misunderstand me, and don't let me make you mad tonight. Because if you get mad tonight, you'll shoot me next Sunday night and hear what I'm going to say then. But now, wait a minute. I don't understand why people can leave their friends they're supposed to love, that they love more than anybody in the world, just to move to a better climate. Don't get mad at me. I'm not saying I'm preaching. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. I mean, I've been here 27 years. I wouldn't trade you for all of West Palm Beach. Honolulu, maybe. But I mean, not for West Palm. It's too humid there. But I mean, I don't understand it. I really don't. I sometimes wring my hand in despair and wonder, what do ties mean? What does friendship mean? I got thinking. We have two daughters in Texas. I guess I see them 2 days a year. And I got thinking this week. 2 days a year. That means if I have 10 more, if I have my 3 score and 10, and have 10 more years, that's what I'm asking God for. That means I'll see those daughters 20 more days. I envy God. He gets to be with everybody all the time. I envy God who can love all of his children all at one time. I don't understand why we spend time apart from those we love the most. I don't understand why a job means more to us than friends and loved ones. I don't understand why money seems to mean more to us than loved ones do. I don't understand the human race. I really don't. I'm going to get out of it. I'm going to pull out. I mean, animals got more sense than we have. I don't understand it. I mean, our depth is so shallow. Our love is so weak. We feel so lightly. I mean, we can say we love somebody for 20 years and then just turn on him just like that. I don't understand that. I don't comprehend it. I'm not preaching against you. I'm a part of the human race. I'm as more weary of my weakness than yours, and I'm more fed up with my flesh than I am yours. But I just don't understand it. It just seems like to me, with one life to live, it just sort of seems strange that I got 20 more days with each daughter. I want to be omnipresent. I want to be omnipotent. I want to be all-powerful. I want to be like Jesus. I'm not going to be satisfied till I am. You say, I don't think you ought to be that way. Well, David was that way. I mean, David said, I'm not going to be... Why? I'll tell you why. Same reason Paul said it. Paul is saying, he's saying that this old spirit of mine is getting to where it's not satisfied with its dwelling place anymore. I want the Spirit to leave this old tin of clay and live in a body like His body so it can be healthy like His is. I want to help everybody in need. My heart broke Christmas Day. I got in the car a little while Christmas morning. And I drove over in some of the ghettos of Chicago. And my heart broke as I realized how many people had so little. We took up $8,000-$9,000 here at the church, and we gave people some $100, some $200, depends on how many children they had and their need. But we didn't scratch the surface. We really didn't. I don't understand why we don't seem to care. And I'm not preaching to you tonight. I'm upset with myself. And there's no way out of it. We're supposed to have fun with our children, and you're supposed to have fun with your grandchildren, and You're supposed to have fun and delight and joy, and you're supposed to shout, and you're supposed to eat and drink and work and marry and give in marriage. I understand it. But I wish I were omnipotent. I wish I had my finger on the button in heaven that could send food to all the hungry people I know. I wish I could give to every college couple in this room tonight what I want to give them. You understand it. You don't know what some of these poor married college students are going through. Somebody said right now, there you go. Thinking of the college students. They're human beings. And everybody ought to think about human beings. And what we need is compassion for each other and less complaining and griping about ourselves and our own lot. And compassion and concern and burden for a world that's hungry and lost and cold and naked and unloved. Somebody's got to care. When I get like Jesus, I'm going to care right. You wait and see. I want to be omnipotent. I want to quit sinning. I really do. I'm not only tired of sinning, I'm tired of having to fight not to. I'm sick and tired of having to struggle not to get mad at somebody. I don't want to do that. I want to not be able to get mad at him. I'm tired of having to resist temptation and fight temptation. I'll praise God when the day comes and I'll not be tempted again. Somebody asked old Dr. H.C. Morrison. He was a holiness member of the holiness denomination, but he wasn't. Don't think he's wacky on his doctrine. Somebody asked him one time, said, Dr. Morris, have you gotten to where you can't sin yet? He began to weep, and he said, no. No, but he said, I've gotten to where I can't enjoy it anymore. I'm not where he was yet, but I'm close enough to where I can sort of understand it a little bit. I want to think like he thinks. Jesus is not here in this church. He can't stand up here and let you be loved like only He can love you and you can see it. I wish I had His love totally. I hope you feel my love for you. But I wish I want to perfect it. I want to be omnipotent. I want to love everybody just like Jesus does. That's what Paul was saying. Paul was saying, I'm a frustrated man. I'm a confused man. He said, I got a body that doesn't coincide with my spirit. He said, what I want to do in the spirit, my body says, no. And what I don't want to do in the spirit, my body says, I want to do it. My spirit says, don't get mad. My body says, I want to get mad. The Spirit says, don't be bitter. My body says, I want to be bitter. The Spirit says, don't fight back. My body says, let Him have it. My spirit says, love everybody. My body says, only love those that are lovable. My spirit says, walk with God. My body says, that's sort of stupid. My spirit says, read the book. My body says, there are books with better pictures in them than this. My spirit says, walk with God. My body says, I'm tired of being out there in the woods alone. I want to be having some fun. I want to tingle. I want my senses satisfied. I want something that tastes good, smells good, it sounds good, feels good. I want to have my senses satisfied. My spirit says, fool you on your senses, satisfy Him. I'm not tonight trying to get you to become a hermit. Just trying to get you to be sorry you can't. I'm not trying to get you tonight to spend 24 hours a day alone with God. I'm just trying to get you to where you're sorry you can't. I'm not suggesting tonight that you witness to everybody you see, everywhere you go, get on the streetcar, the bus, the train, go down the aisle, and witness to everybody and then preach to them when you get through them. I'm not suggesting you do that. I'm just suggesting you not be satisfied because you don't. I know we're stuck with this body, and I know it's bent to wrong, and it's bent to weariness, and it's bent to sickness, and it's bent to being tired, and it's bent to sin. And I know we have it, and we're stuck with it,
we don't have to be satisfied because we can't love like we ought to love. Not only do I want to be omnipresent, I want to be omnipotent, but I want to be omniscient. I want to know everything. I nearly almost do now. I want to know it all. I don't, and I won't till awaken His likeness. But I want to always advise you properly when you come to my office for counsel. I want a mind that's not tired ever when I preach. You understand this, but I don't guess I've missed a day preaching in 25 years. One of our young couples said they had to have a few days off because they both were tired. And then there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing at all. But I never have a few days off. Not griping about it. I choose it that way. But sometimes I'll be preaching. Maybe I'll be preaching in California. And I'll be preaching, still preaching at 11:30 at midnight, your time, because it's different time zone out there. Or maybe at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'll be in Alaska preaching 2 o'clock here. And maybe I haven't had any sleep. And maybe I'm tired and weary. And maybe my mind gets a little weary. I don't think as sharply as I want to think. And I go back to my room. And many dozens and hundreds of nights I've cried. And I said, I'm sorry. I want to have a clear mind for you. You deserve somebody to preach with a clear mind and a sharp mind. And I'm sorry. Oh, you say, well, all of us are going to get tired sometime. We don't have to enjoy it. Well, nobody is perfect. That's what's wrong with us. Nobody wants to be perfect either. No, we can't be perfect, but we don't have to rejoice because we're not. Sure, we all have bad days, but don't ever have one and rejoice in it.
I want to be omniscient. Other night, I try to pray most of the night, or one night a week, I try to pray all night. The other night I was going to pray, and I knew I shouldn't have knelt to pray. I knew I shouldn't. I usually, when I pray long hours at a time, I'll drive or I'll walk or something. And I knew I shouldn't have knelt, but all of a sudden I got tired of walking while I was praying, and I knelt. And I was out in the woods. And knelt at a stump. I woke up 3 hours later with a stump for a pillow. Jacob at least had a stone for a pillow. He at least saw a vision. And I woke up and I looked at my watch and I said, good night, I've been out in the woods. A snake could have bitten me. I mean, an armadillo could have snapped my foot. A polecat could have sprayed me. He could have walked up to me and saw I was praying. He said, let us pray. Don't criticize me. I don't want to be like this. It's my mind. It's tired. But I thought, I said, God, you need something better than this. I mean, anybody ever go to sleep while they're talking to you? I had a man in Texas named Mr. Varner. He ran a little country store. We had two sections in the church. We had an aisle here, but these pews over here went all the way to the wall. And he always sat right next to the wall. There's no aisle there, right next to the wall. And he'd stand up to sing. And we'd sit down. And he'd be sound asleep, leaning against the wall. One of the best men I ever knew, but... I was talking to somebody. I forget who it was. Was it you, John? Or you? I was talking to somebody not long ago, and they went to sleep while they were talking to me. I mean, I knew I was boring when I preached, but I had no idea in personal conversation. You know what I want? I want to walk with people so I can know their problems.
And I want to walk with God so I can know how to solve them. Let me say it again. I want to walk with people so I can know their problems. I want to walk with God so I can know how to solve them. I long to be what you need. You don't understand that. See, going to church to you, that's why these seats are empty tonight. Going to church to you, it's Sunday, you're supposed to go to church just like Mass. A lot of you don't. You don't listen to the thing I say. And if you do listen to it, you forget it. You're supposed to go to church. It's a ritual. No, it's not. It's a feeding trough. You haven't got the foggiest idea how I wrestle. Try to find the mind of God to know what you need. Look out like I preach. You don't understand how long I wrestle with God about that one little truth this morning I preached about. And how hungry I was for you to get it. And look out and see somebody asleep while I'm presenting it. I just die. I want to be omniscient. I don't understand this. I sometimes wonder if I'm made for this world. And then if I am, I don't want to be. I mean, somebody needs to go to God and get the answer and bring it back home. And somebody needs to walk with God, and God knows I want to. I just want to be like Him. I want to see Him. I want to be like Him. I want to love like I want to love. Won't it be good to be able to love without any physical appetites to bother you? Won't it be good to be able to love without any selfishness whatsoever to be a part of your love? I mean, untainted, undiluted, pure, the perfect love of Christ. Now, we can't do that now. We can want to. And we can try to grow in His likeness. I guess I just sort of felt sorry for Jesus Thursday. I guess I just sort of felt sorry for Him coming to His own birthday party and nobody ever sang happy birthday to Him. I guess I just sort of felt sorry for Him. Because it's His birthday and nobody even spoke to Him when He came to the party. Oh, I'm not criticizing you. I'm criticizing myself. I'm simply saying, I shall be satisfied when I awake in His likeness. I tell you what I can do. I can walk with Him enough so I can be more like Him now. You know, I used to come back from preaching. When I preach with people, I preach by myself mostly. By the way, I was going to testify a while ago at the end of the year. I've never known meetings across the country like I've known this last year. Greatest meetings I've ever had. For example, let's take in the Christmas season. Every Christmas season in my ministry, the crowds are always down. But I mean, all the month of December, had packed houses everywhere I went. Packed houses. I mean, went out to California with Hans Nikolai. I mean, he only runs about 200 in Sunday school. Building seats about 700. We couldn't take care of all the people. Had to have closed circuit television. Take care of the people. I mean, we had a packed house last Monday night. I mean, Monday night, Christmas on Thursday. Great crowd. I was down to Brother Fisk. He said the biggest crowd he's ever had in his church. That's just 2 weeks before Christmas. Week and a half before Christmas. I'll tell you the truth in a minute. It's 9 days before Christmas. In fact, I think it was after Christmas. In fact, it wasn't even this year. It's next year. But I used to come home, and I preach mostly by myself now. I used to be the young preacher, you know, that's always with somebody, and now I'm the old codger. And every once in a while I preach with Dr. Robertson. He's the only one I know that's older now anymore. But when I'm on a platform with him, I just live it up. I feel my smooth skin. But he used to come home. He used to come home from a preaching trip, and you could tell with whom I'd been. I didn't try. But I'd come home after dinner and talk to John, and I'd say, we're glad to have all of our visitors here. Not long ago, a year or two ago, I mentioned Dr. Rice, and Tom Kimmel wrote me a note after the service, and he said, you reminded me an awful lot of Dr. Rice this morning. He said, I saw him in you. He said, you must have loved him very much. I'd come back home, and if I'd been to Brother Lester, I'd walk up and say, well, bless God. You could tell it. If I'd been to Dr. Bill Rice, I'd say, howdy, neighbor! You know why? I've been with him. I want to walk with him enough to where you can tell it. And I want to walk with him enough to where, with the passing of the years, I want to be more like him. Now, I'm not going to be satisfied till I'm like him. But I can't do it as long as I've got this old flesh here. One of these days, this robe of flesh I'll drop and rise and seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. But until then, we can walk with him. We can resolve in 1987 to spend time with him. And though we can't be exactly like him because we cannot be with him all the time because of filial responsibilities and material responsibilities and earthly obligations, we can be with him more and more than we have been. And by being with him more and more, we can be more like him. Years ago, it's been over 20 years ago now. Maybe in the last vacation I had. We went down to Nassau, Bahamas with Russell Anderson and Maxine. And I was in a department store there in Nassau. And we're looking around. And I heard something go, psst, 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 psst. I thought, what in the world's leaking? Psst, 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 psst. I looked and I looked and I looked and I looked. I mean, it psst for a long time. And after a bunch of psst, I mean, I felt something dripping on the back of my head. Russell Anderson had gotten Chanel No. 5, those sample deals. And he had bathed my back in Chanel No. 5. I mean, both my hairs were saturated with it. And my collar was bathed in Chanel No. 5. And everywhere I went on that cruise, everybody go, ooh, ooh, ooh. And brother, you couldn't wash it off. In fact, if the wind blows right, we can still smell it. And you will till I bathe. And then, years ago, I was driving on a road, like one of these country roads here, like maybe out to Dyer or one of the country roads out in Cedar Lake, something like that. And I saw a cute little cat running across the road in front of me. He's black and white. He's one of those that says, let us pray. And I tried to miss him. Funny thing, I don't like to run over anything. I don't like to kill an animal unless he's in the sight of a gun, you know what I mean? But, no, I don't even like to do that. But I tried to miss him, but I didn't. And I want you to know, folks, for weeks, that odor was on me. And I never went anywhere. Like old Dr. James McGinley went to a house one day. He'd used a lot of, it was a real fancy kind of a house. And the lady said, Dr. McGinley, I want you to know that this furniture goes back to Louis the 14th. He said, nothing, mine goes back to Sears Roebuck the 15th. She got a little peeved, and he had a little too much cologne on, and she said, Pewee, I see you use perfume. Old Dr. McGinley said, Pewee, I see you don't. But you know, for weeks, that polecat odor? Was it in the car? I'm not sure it ever got out of the car. My clothes, the cleaners couldn't clean that odor out of my clothes. And everybody knew what caused it. Everybody knew when I was rounding with that Chanel number 5, too. Everybody knew what caused it. I'd like to be with him so much that maybe I could remind people of him. I'm just not satisfied yet. And I won't be satisfied till I awaken his likeness. I don't want you to be satisfied till you do either. The house, nobody's perfect. I understand that, but let's don't be satisfied about it. Well, the house, we're all sinners. I understand that, but let's don't be happy about it. Well, the house, none of us is God. I understand that, but you don't have to be happy. You have to blow a trumpet and say, whoopee, I'm a sinner because everybody has to be. You have to do that. All I'm asking you to do tonight is accept the fact that you're clothed in humanity and flesh. Don't be happy about it. Paul wasn't. David wasn't. I guess I just wanted to say some things I've been thinking this week. I just felt sorry for Jesus Thursday. I really did. I felt sorry for my mama. I felt sorry for everybody in hospitals. Last week I made a little trip before Christmas. Every day I was home, before a week before Christmas, I'd go to some hospitals and park outside. And especially on Christmas Eve, I did this. I'd park outside and look up and think of those people having to spend Christmas in the hospitals. My heart broke. I can't keep them from it, but I can feel with them a little bit. Look, everybody needs somebody to care. And I get so frustrated because I don't care like I want to care. I don't love like I want to love. I don't feel like I want to feel. But bless God, the day is going to come when I will. The day is going to come when I can look at Jesus and say, Jesus, my love is undiluted for you. It's untainted. Flesh is gone. And I can look at when we get to heaven, I can look at you and I can say, okay, now I can. I can do what I wanted to do all along. I can love you without any hindrance or handicap of the flesh. I guess I just want you to want to see him. This afternoon, I drove to Mama's window, bedroom window where she used to sleep, and parked outside it like I do nearly every week. Well, every week I do. And I thought about her life. And I wondered if anybody in the whole world besides me right now is thinking about her. I go out to the cemetery. I look at the graves of people that used to sit in this room. I wonder if anybody ever thinks about him. What do you say, Brother Hiles? I'm taking it so well. Well, quit taking it so well. I'm not saying you ought to crack up. I'm just saying you ought to be sad sometimes. You ought to miss them sometimes. I'm just saying you ought to feel. You ought to hurt a little bit with those that hurt. I'm not saying you ought to go home and take all the toys you gave your kids. Take them away from them. Go give them to all the poor people in Chicago. I'm not saying that. I think you're better off if you took all the toys you gave your kids and started a toy shop. But I'm not saying that. I'm saying that sometimes in our busy schedules, we ought to stop and hurt and miss and love and feel and say with the psalmist, I'm not satisfied yet. I got something down in here that doesn't fit this here. I'm wearing a suit that's too tight. I'm wearing a robe that doesn't fit. There's something inside here that's uncomfortable. I just want to be like you, Jesus. And until I can be like you, I just want to be a little more like you. And a little more like you.